Recorded.
This is a session with Nelson, recorded on June 9th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:14 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
All right. Hi, Ion.
Hey.
Well, I got through a couple of these equations, finally, right through. And the most accurate result was on the original one that I was working on for a number of weeks with you.
Yes.
And I'd like to go through that one. Just really quick, because I can get through it pretty quickly. And then I'd like to go through one that I've done and ask you a couple questions. Now, I've recognized how, not how accurate you have to be, but the Maybank rate affects this very, very precisely.
It does indeed.
And I'm concerned about my ability to accurately hit that rate every single time. For example, like if the rate's off just a little bit, your answer can be off a little bit, but which is a lot when you go and move your decimal back, and it's in pips. So a large part of my session is out of questions about the Maybank rate and how I should be properly doing that. For example, the Maybank rate that you gave me for the pound trade is a lot different than the Maybank rate that I was using for my next position, specifically because I don't know how that 0.58 was calculated. And and then as well, I need to talk to you about setting my perspective and ratio, because, for example, if I wanted to be in something for, let's say, 10 days, I would count over 10 blocks and then set my tangent because C was like 1.3 or 1.4, so it was a natural 10 blocks for 10 days, and then it was just the triangle was hanging to the right a little bit more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Versus a 10-week trade where you'd have 10 blocks of perspective, let's say, if I decided to divide it up like that. So theoretically, I'm concerned about the answer repeating, but I guess the only thing that would be different would be the Maybank rate in that case. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I just
calculating
to,
the, now that's assuming that your all your calculations are in order.
Yes. For example, like if I had a 10-day trade versus a 10-week trade, I place my tangent 10 blocks to the right on both. The only variable that changes is the Maybank rate in that whole equation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it should be?
Yes.
Okay, so I just need...
Because, see, time is a false premise.
Well, that's what I figured, so it. That's why I figured no matter how you set it up visually, your Maybank rate was ultimately going to compensate for the issues. As well, this week when I was doing this, I really tried to let go of anything within me that was saying anything to do with, like, logic in terms of respect with to time and to just the math in general. Because ultimately, that when you recognize that time's a false premise and you really accept that, you move forward and it becomes a lot easier just from the perspective point. So... So I'll start through the GU really quickly, and I'll go through the whole thing, and you'll listen through and just tell me why this one worked and another one didn't. cool?
No, we won't do it that way. What you'll do is you'll ask questions working at whatever level you go to, and we'll look at – okay. See, in the essence of this being your creation, here's how it plays. You have the information, you get the visual, and then you perfect your art. Okay?
Okay.
We could do this the same conversation if you'd say, Ion, I want you to show me how to paint like Rembrandt, precisely. And then you'd say, okay, now I've painted it. It doesn't look anything like a Rembrandt. It's not even close. It's the right color, but it's off. So now you'd say, now, okay, Ion, we're going to go brush stroke by brush stroke to see why this is not like Rembrandt. We go, oh, no, 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 no. This is your art. And then if it's how to hold your brush, no problem. If it's your process that you're calculating through and to, no problem. But this is where you'll play with your art to make it your own. Because otherwise you're going to catch yourself make every trade. You would not be able to do it. You would require non-physical to do it. And if you can be okay with that, fine. But see, that doesn't get you into your place of power. That's the point. That's the magic of it. But so, doing the very thing that you're talking about doing, no problem. But go from your original visual. You said your first one was the closest. So you go with that, and let's make sure it's spot on. And if it is, then you play with it. And see, because if you do it from a pass that you can prove instantly, then you know exactly the amount you're off. You see, once you show your work, then you can see exactly what the conversion issue would be, exactly, for you to get there. Then once you get comfortable with your art, then you know from a future experience doing it from a test, you know, a one-day trade in your play account to see how it would actually play out, then you have confidence, you see, because you've then cleared yourself with what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I want to – all of these – none of these sessions are geared from the perspective of me not searching to be able to do it by myself.
No, no, wait, that's right, baby. We with you. We absolutely do. And you've made great strides, you see, because you could win at horseshoes and hand grenades right now, but you want to go a little further even than that. We're with you. We're with you.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's appropriate. Very good. So go from your first one, the one that you got pretty close to, and let's go through that one. And if you want to run through it, anything that's off a bit, we'll say, look out here, and then we'll tweak it, you see. And then that'll help you better perfect your art. So good.
Okay, fantastic. So I've really separated this into two distinct processes. My first process is to do all of my trig and get the prices out of there. You know what I mean? So when I do that, I've been not moving my decimal, okay? Is that a problem, for example? Should I be doing all of the trig calculations on the digits post-decimal move? No.
The answer is it makes no difference. There's a qualifier.
Caveat.
As long as every single play is done the same way.
Perfect. That's what I thought.
You see?
It makes
no difference. But now, you know, it's a slippery slope because look at the conversation that we've had already regarding the difference between radians and degrees. You see?
Yes.
That's huge. Now, if you can convert from radians and degrees, then it's not a problem. But few can until you get your sort of the quadrants of your canvas stretched out to see what you're working to.
Uh-huh.
So that's the reason we say degrees are easier as far as the picture. But once you get that, as you know, it'll obsolesce, and then as you retrieve it, you go, oh, well, that's fine. I get the program, so all I know is that it's easier for me to calculate it in radians. That's fine, but I now also know to convert it to degrees.
Yes.
See? But I don't want to confuse you in your setting your gauge. So
okay,
as long as you do it to all of them, now qualify it. Say it again, and let's make sure you're exactly getting what we mean.
Okay. As long as all of my prices are treated the same in terms of the way that the decimal is moving to which, how many spaces that decimal moves to the right when I go to my larger plotting of my larger diagrams where I plot my waves, then when I do my trig, I'm fine using the original prices as long as all three are treated the same when I blow it up and adjust the rate.
That is exactly correct, and that's key, Nelson, and that's true every single time without fail or exception. There's never an occurrence that it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah. As long as it's a uniform shift, these points will hold their angle to each other.
Then that's right, and it will also qualify ratio, the ratio perspective of the angle. Because see, that's the secret of what makes this actually apply or work the way you want it to work is having the ability of C, the angle C and C2 never changing.
Yes.
You see, that way, even if you pull a tangent, the B4, A4, C, C2, and then it would be C4 as well, those angles would all be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the true adjustment to C comes when you define your new x-axis.
When you justify the new landscape from a future occurrence. That's correct.
Yes, justify the new landscape. Okay,
Because that's the gauge of how much it changed, and then that change of what the change applies to.
Yep, exactly.
All right.
Okay.
So good. So that's your first part. So you're spot on there.
So I've also really organized my labeling and conformed to a specific way that I'll do it forever.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So the first thing that I find is A. A is always the opposite over the adjacent. So for this example, it would be 1.29858 over 1.60049. So tan A equals that. And then you just solve for A. So A equals 39.0545 degrees. Then when I write justify the triangle, the angle at the top left of the new smaller triangle that ends up sitting beneath, I call ARJ, which is the A right justified. So it's like
good.
The top of the new triangle, and that's how I've been calling it.
Mm-hmm.
So ARJ.
And you could also do that as A with a degree with a slash through it, like a circle with a straight line. Because on a big position, that may get difficult to play with. So another thing, ARC could be an A with a degree signal with a straight line through the middle of it, so you'd know it would be right justified.
Oh, okay. That's like a nice, way of doing that. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
But now, if that suits you, but it'll make it easy because you could see how this, you could fill one of those white dry erase marker boards in about 1 second if you got a big thing you were working on. So writing ARC kind of going to get you crazy.
Yeah. I totally agree. Okay, so I solve for that using tan, and then I take 180 minus that number and to find B. Obviously, Y is a straight vertical line.
You write justified A. Now you have to write justified B.
Yes. So so you use 180 to find B. 180 minus ARJ for now, or A degrees with the line, the strike through degrees. In this case is 127.6542.
Angle.
And then in order to find C, you...
Now, wait, now, you're saying that's your angle for B, not the value of B.
That's B, the angle of B.
That's right. Be very clear, because that's very easy to confuse, because you could take the value of B, which wouldn't be that justified angle.
No, exactly. The value of B is the price.
Good. You're right.
Okay.
But see, that's but that's a tricky slope if you weren't very clear that. Okay, now, here's another thing that may serve you in the ratio question that'll help. If you move all the decimals, you're saying that wasn't successful. Well, it should have been more precise, because then there would have been no pointage. It would have all been a whole number.
Oh,
it made it easier to calculate your degrees. But we get it. It's easy to make a mistake when you blow up ratios and perspectives where it's, 10,000 blocks to the right. We see. We get that. Okay.
Exactly.
But it will help you once you perfect your art.
Yes, I do. Once I'm done my trig, then I want to worry about that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
On a whole new piece of paper.
Okay.
Because then I can
just
blow through the trig. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Get through that quickly.
That's right.
And then
that's
get
right.
to the
that's
art
right.
form of
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay. So then, in order to find C, you need to take the whole of the new triangle, the whole side of C, and minus it by CRJ or C degrees with the line through the degrees sign, which is basically the smaller triangle C.
If you knew how many degrees were in a whole triangle, which you do, and you make your correction, you should be able to subtract that from your other two angles to get the value of C.
Yes, you can do it. Yeah,
the angle.
You can do it that way as well.
Well,
so
no. Wait, whoa. That's a point. We say do it the way you're doing it, and also then check your work. Meaning, if it's that's the case, that's your third way of double checking that angle is precise. Because that's the most important angle of all, as you know.
Oh, yes, exactly. At the end, I have just been adding up all three angles, and
to make sure.
Even when I've got, seven decimal points,
they
nail 180.
There you go. And if that's the case, then see, that way you know you're on it.
Perfect. Okay, so then I do the smaller one, so that's it's just opposite over adjacent again. 1.60049 over 1.29858, solve for CRJ, and that is 50.94. And then so that is not CRJ. That was the whole angle.
Whole. That's correct.
Yeah, the whole,
that's great.
The whole angle,
C. That's good.
And then I need to go, I solve for CRA, and that is 1.0020 over 1.29858, and then that equals 37 degrees. And then you take CRA and minus it from CA, CW, which is the whole of C, and that's 13.2914. So you're left with C equals 13.2914. A equals 39.0545, and I'm just going to actually add them up to 180 right now, just in case I didn't do that. 0.05.
That way you got a triple check, basically.
Yeah, that's important. I think that with this, precision is the key.
Oh, it absolutely
precision is, and repeatability.
If you fuck the trig, you're screwed on your vibration.
Yeah, for sure. So this equals 180.0001. So I don't know. That's just a rounding. It must have been a rounding thing in one of the answers. So now, should I take that as a success, or should I be searching for 180 on the pin?
You want to be on the pin. Do you want
A2
to be close, or do you want it to be exact?
Oh, I want it to be exact. So it must be a rounding thing.
Good. And see, that's enough to throw you off by $100 right there, as you know. And that's what you've discovered, obviously.
Yeah, I have. All right, well, I'm sorry.
You know, you're working on the price of a pound and you find out that it's going to be $37 in 10 minutes. That might be odd, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would.
And see, and that does actually make it easy as well. Knowing Trump's preciseness.
Oh yeah, look at this. It's the answer to A is 39.05463,
mm-hmm.
not 45.
Mhm. And isn't it interesting that that fell on your A value, which is the huge point of what you're trying to calculate or justify to?
Yeah.
Which would be from A to B for your A2 value.
Now, let me think about the next one because actually we want to go down 1 point. Sorry, I should have had this dead on before I even started.
Well, but no, it's okay because that's all right. Because, see, the dead on part, that's the part that makes it yours. So, no, it's no trouble.
Okay. I'm just going to go through this as quick as possible on my calculator. 10 to the negative 1. 1.23. So with an answer like this, 50.94536819, I'm best off writing out that whole all those decimals.
Absolutely. You actually must, because that would affect your angle.
Yeah, it definitely would.
And that's what we're talking about, see? Because any shift or calculation that keeps your triangle correct, because that's a flat geometric shape, okay?
Yep.
But when you start applying vibration to that, all of a sudden it screws with your peaks and troughs dramatically.
You should have seen my face when this hit on, dead on.
We did.
Yeah. <you're, laughs> I was, like, not losing it, but you know what? I wasn't surprised. I was surprised, but not surprised. Like,
I was taken aback.
I was taken aback, yeah. More than shocked.
Do.
Which is a good thing, because it shows I have confidence in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to change your world. Well, we say it already has, but don't believe us. We'll obsolesce you while you wait. See, and now here's the fun of this, Nelson. While now, we don't want to distract you, baby. We're with you.
You can talk. You're good.
Yeah. We're with you, because it'll fail, because you'll go back and re-listen and go, aha, you know, kind of aha kind of thing. All right. See, this thing always has been. It always is. And this is just, you've engaged in a how.
Yeah.
And the how becomes a practical applier. And if you can practically apply a how, then it no longer has to be engaged. Now that means, for example, you have a car, you have car keys. You could triangulate your position of your car keys. You can do that. But if you know where your car keys are, you don't have to triangulate. Now we said that from the very beginning. People would say, I don't remember when I went to another world or all those nebulous little things. And we go, well, if you can't remember, triangulate. All right? So if you and this will become a part of you, and it kind of already has. But you wanted, just like many humans, but especially your tenacity of getting this exact, then you know. And with a little bit of practice, what you'll find, you're talking about your confidence, and that's more key than you know, in your place of confidence, what will happen is you'll find that you'll pick three pairs and you'll be able to stare at it, look at it, and you'll know exactly how it's going to fall.
Wow.
So much so that you will be able to decide what your desire is and adjust that desire right before your eyes, because that's confidence too.
Wow, that's incredible. That
we're talking about what we said. Now, what we said was that you've learned erroneously or without regard when you were a kid to tell time. Now, you can finally get the ability to force time to tell.
Wow, yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 39054631H2. Okay, so this plus 120. Oh, that's the one I haven't done yet. Okay, one second. Just give me one more. I've just got to do one more and clarify it.
Very
I'm
good.
That's part of it.
You're great.
1.29858 divided by 1.0020 equals 10 negative 1.29. Okay, that's 52. 57. Okay, yeah, I can't round these to four decimals. Doesn't do it. 7, 8, 7, 6. And then minus 180 equals 127.6542112. Okay, so that number 127.6542112 plus 39.0546312 plus 13.29115695 equals 180 exactly. Okay,
exactly.
That's a lot.
Now you go. See, that takes some of your heat off of your Maybank rate too.
Yeah, it allows your Maybank rate to be
No. See, this is like practice makes perfect, and we say, hell no, it does not. Practice makes practice.
Okay.
Perfect practice makes perfect, Nelson, and that's key here, because you're now for the first time applying a vibration specifically, and this is goes into another thing. What you cipher, we're going to talk so you can get your business in. We want to get you somewhere. We say that you could create a voltmeter. Yes, you know what a voltmeter is. That's not the. We're sorry, you're working. We're talking.
No, you take a voltmeter.
You take a voltmeter, and you can then put it to your electrical, stick it into your socket, and it'll tell you how many volts of electricity it is and its frequency. Okay? So you know exactly how much it is coming through the plug-in. Well, that's a regulation, a regulatory process, so you know if you put a 110 into a dryer plug-in, it'll blow up whatever it is. Okay? Well, that little voltmeter you could use on yourself because it actually gauges. It's a stretch. We get it. But if you perfected this art, you could have a meter, a gauge, that could tell your vibrational frequency. You. Okay? And what you do, you take your shirt off and turn the thing on and put it to your chest, the black and the red thing, and say, oh, okay, my vibrational frequency is 8.43611. Cool. Okay, and then you can go, well, now let's see. Breakfast, no. New house, no. Journey, trip, no. I know, a new Porsche Carrera 911. So you go to the car lot and you take your little voltmeter. Now, you don't touch it to your chest to see what your frequency is. You could go around touching it to cars and see which one was exactly that, and you wouldn't even have to sign the papers. They'd say, well, I appreciate it. Here's your keys. And you'd go, well, that's already your car. See, because the vibration would allow nothing less. It's already your car. And you, if you didn't allow it, then what that, if you didn't believe that, embrace that, accept that, what you would do is you wouldn't change the vibration of the car. You would have changed the vibration in you. That's why we talk about relax and allow in this nebulous position. This is why you're finally circling back the wagons to validate that everything is vibrational. And that's what this work, and it's very important. We don't make it light, and we'll stay with you till you get sore to get it exact. Because once you get it exact, you have absolutely defined exactly the ridiculous, nebulous qualifier of what you call time. And once you do that, then you have room for all kinds of fun things. We could talk about some other thing that would also affect this. It's something called potential for hydrogen, or pH. Okay? Humans say pH is a specific thing. But there is no such thing under the sun, so far, as what you call a negative pH. There's no such thing. And we say there is. There always has been. You just couldn't see it. All right? Once you, Nelson, nullify time, then negative pH can also be embraced. Because somebody's going to scratch their head or their butt because something's itching and going, what the fuck? You mean we've been gauged by time all this long and there is no time? Well, let's look at what else we've fouled out here. And this is the century. This is the time. This is when everything changes. We're going to say it, and we're going to say it, and we're going to say it, and when you get tired of hearing it, we're going to say it again. And that's whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you even want it or not. That's why you coming into your place of power is absolutely the most euphoria you can know.
Wow.
Now all we did now while you're doing your ciphering, baby, what the point of this was to give you the damn big picture of what you're really talking about here. This ain't about a little dab of money and money checks. But it can be perfectly fine. You see?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not what it's about.
No. In fact,
for your vernacular.
Most of the time spent on this is going to be post that.
That's exactly right. But see, then you'll be in a knowing place. And once you get into a knowing place, then you know. You won't require triangulation because you'll know. And then guess what? Then you have a little project coming along. We'll out JW. You tell us now when you're ready to work because we're just filling in while you're ciphering. JW was outside and he was sort of walking around, roaming around, and it got like just unbearably hot, 100 degrees. 200% humidity. I mean, it is Atlanta, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's hot and muggy in the South. You know the story.
Yeah.
Well, it was just impossibly sticky, humid, warm. And he was walking around sort of looking at what was going on, and he decided, that's kind of interesting. A nice shower would really cool things off and make it more pleasant and sort of wring some of the moisture out of the air. But he certainly didn't want to forfeit the beautiful sunshiny day. It's not even summer yet. All right? So the sun's still shining. Everything is beautiful. It's wonderful. But we just came out on the lanai. So you could, can you hear it? Raining with the sun shining bright. Everything is glorious and beautiful. And it is just absolutely coming a flood. No reason to mess up the day just to have it cooler and drop the temperature about 20 degrees. Everything's just kind of pleasant. That's the essence of what we're talking about here. Because when you can move the temperature of your day, you certainly can move a market.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So it has vast, vast application.
Yeah, oh, I imagine. I imagine it can be applied to anything that can be triangulated. Okay, so I'm ready to go on.
All right, so we filled in your little space there. Good. And we're glad. That's good. You'll enjoy that when you re-listen.
So, Nelson, you understand JW just created the rain. You get that, Nelson?
Yeah, I get that.
He has created storms in his neighborhood. He's had his house
snow,
be snowed.
And nobody else had snow, all kinds
he
of
put,
stuff.
He put snow on his own property, so all the kids had to come over to his property to sled right there. It's the only place it was. Now, how do you do that?
Because Carolyn had a fit and said that JW was being inappropriate and it wasn't fair to make everyone else have road hazards with snow and ice and slushy on the road, that it wasn't fair to put it on the whole region when he just had a wild hair up his butt to wanting a little precipitation. So he said, fine, he yields to Carolyn, and just limited it to his property. It's pretty fun.
That's funny. All right, so this is where I feel that the most, it needs to be very standardized, and I want to make sure that I keep it that way.
Exactly. Until you perfect it, that's exactly correct. That's the visual. That's right. Visual bias is what you're creating here.
So C in this case is the 1.29858 number, okay? Now, the key is with this step is to properly set up your perspective and your the adjustment of the triangle with it to set the tangent. It's all about the C relative to where you're setting the tangent and how that perspective is, okay?
Our ratio applies, yes.
So for this example, what I did, for this equation, what I did is it was 1.29, so I made it 12, okay? 12.9858. So I went over 12 blocks and plotted that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, no, that's not what I did. This is what I did. I put that at 10 blocks over, okay?
You're setting your second tangent.
Yes. Now, I'm telling you where I'm placing C on this triangle, okay?
Whoa. No, now, wait a second. No, C should plot exactly for the value of C.
Okay. Like, for right now, C is plotting. Like, when I draw that dot, it's 10 blocks over, but it is 12.9.
No. That's where you've gone horribly backward. No. You have 3 points, three values, three pairs if you're doing monies, okay?
Yep.
You have the value for A, and you plot A. And you have the value for B, and you plot B. And you have the value for C, and that's what you put on the X-axis,
yep,
which would be the horizon, exactly as it plots of its value. You can't just indiscriminately move C, because then you'll indiscriminately be wrong.
Okay, so when I go to set up this triangle and I move my decimal point, if C is, for example, 1.29858, and I move my decimal point so it's 12.9858, I should be placing it 13 blocks over.
No, you have to be exactly at the 12 point whatever. And that's the reason we said when you start plotting the triangle, you might want to move all the decimals over, okay? So it would be, what did you say, 12,300 something whole blocks.
Yeah, but how big
is it? Because you got to be exact, because that will change everything.
Yes, but all that really I'm trying to examine on what, for example, if I
don't
place
figure
that,
now
as
wait,
long
Nelson,
as I know
now
that
wait.
That,
no, just hold on now, baby, just, this is
okay.
Good, we're doing this, don't, no, wait, hold on, no, you don't, you can't calculate this, from your perspective of why it's not, why it's off. You've got to get your visual set into your place. Exact. Here's the reason. For the first time, you're taking flat, plain geometry. Flat, plain geometry. No problem. There are rules about plain geometry. X, you know, Y to the sky and X this way, and that's how your quadrants are. That's those are rules.
Yeah.
Great. No problem. They're one-dimensional. But now you're taking a one-dimensional thing, and you are now overlaying or extrapolating, if you will, a vibrational frequency, which is not plane geometry, which is not one-dimensional, which is not be able to be applied on a flat plane. Okay? And yet you are, because of the rules regarding trigonometric function, which would allow you to graph points, peaks, troughs, and those intersections from the center of that place, and you are merging, we were trying to say marrying, but that might be the best choice because that doesn't last long, but merging a vibrational frequency, vibrational perspective of value onto a flat, one-dimensional geometric plane. So it must be exactly on point.
Okay. So I'll make sure that
you have to watch because
exactly there.
Because once that's the case, it can change your angles, you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Okay.
That's the whole trick of the right justification. The only reason you're able to do that is because there's already a set rule of how to calculate the angle to right justify a triangle that isn't a right triangle, you see? And then you have to subtract the amount that you use to qualify it as right.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
Now, then you have exact
angles,
and you can measure those together, and you know that you're back to 180 degrees.
Yes, exactly. So I'm plotting
and it makes no difference
because,
see, if you get something off and you just subtract and you're off on one of your angles, it'll come up to 180 degrees because you forced it. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay, 4 divided by 2 must equal 2. But if you take that in geometric form, it may not. 1 might be 1 and 1 might be 3, you see.
Yeah, I see.
And you'd still equal 4.
Yes.
Which would have a serious outcome, cataclysmic outcome, to your value of a 2.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's good. See, this little bitty thing here is going to ease up the pressure off you may bankrate. This alone would give you your offness. But you had to play with it, baby. You had to play with it.
Now I've plotted them exactly.
Good.
Okay. Now, how do I now set my tangent? Because the tangent, where I set this tangent, determines how many intersections I'm going to be at times.
No, it doesn't necessarily.
Well, like if I
make
the tangent
you're thinking. You're thinking.
Yeah.
You're blocked. You've plotted C at 12 point what? 1.2 or 12,000.
You caught that. Okay, 12.9858.
Okay, do you know how to accurately gauge the 0.98 between a block exactly, graphing it?
No, you can't do that.
So, yes, you can, but you got to be way brighter than you are right now. But you will. It's okay. That's not the question, but we did catch that. So that's the first point.
Just
hold on. We're going to get you here.
Sorry.
So now you're asking about the second tangent. I mean, you're wanting to get through this, so that's why we're pushing. The second tangent, you're saying, describe exactly, Ian, how do I set the second tangent? Or your B1A1 tangent, correct?
Correct.
Okay. If you have ever how many blocks you have, if it's 12,000, then go over 10,000 blocks and say that's, and you draw a straight line and that's your new Y axis, which is also your B1A1. And that's what you will then rectify your new X axis regarding, so you'll have a new horizon in the future. You'll have a
okay.
new X and a new Y. Okay, so it makes no difference. Now, those 10,000 blocks, that can be 10,000 minutes, 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. It makes no difference because you're basing it on a false premise of time. You just want to make sure that you are creating yet another triangle. Remember, your A2, B2, C2 triangle that's contained inside your original triangle.
Yes.
Good. So that's how you do it. And we say, like if you're at 12 or 1.2, then go over 1. You see, that's okay. Just make another triangle, and it makes no difference in the world. You apply the value to each block, no problem. Vibration won't change. Vibration won't change within a minute, a day, or a millennia. Doesn't do
it. So this equation, I'm looking 9 days out. Okay.
Okay.
So in order to set
so
my
go
hand,
nine. So go nine over from your original y-axis. Nine
okay,
blocks over.
That's what I figured. Okay. One.
That's
two,
fine.
Three, four, five, six, nine.
And you could do it in a one day and just go over one block too. But what you'll find is it'll get really tight for your visual. But once you perfect this, Nelson, you can do that, see? There's no problem once you get good at it.
Yes, exactly. No, it's not nine. Oh, let me just see. It's seven.
Okay.
Oh no, it's nine where we were looking. Now, for example, when I do this in real time, I won't know it's exactly nine, but maybe this is how I got my absolute high. Everything past nine starts to get lower. So let's go seven. Let's go seven, because that would be sort of natural.
Makes
okay,
no difference.
So if I use seven,
you have room there.
Yes. So if I go seven, I can go seven blocks over.
Absolutely, no problem.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I can set my new tangent. Great. Now, is it okay if this tangent is landing kind of, like, it's only about two-thirds to the right of Y? Is that
that's
fine?
No problem. No
okay.
problem. But we just say that, the reason we say that is to give yourself room to
yep.
activate your trigonometric functions.
Yes,
see,
exactly.
It makes no. Once you get good at it, then you're absolutely right, because you don't have to apply it right there. You can do it here and go, there are this many intersection points from this span, boom, boom, boom. You can move your work off target to calculate it, as long as you know exactly how many blocks there are between your two tangents. See?
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, you see? No problem.
Okay, great. So I put the 16. My angle for A is 39.0546318A2, and I graph that, and I get two intersection points that are less than seven. So those are the two intersection points that land within the tangent, and they are 1.1521. So what I've been doing is I've just been putting those onto my graph paper. So I'll set up my box. So I'll draw a horizontal line from A to the tangent and a horizontal line from B to the tangent. And I'll just roughly put in where these intersection points are landing on top
mm-hmm.
of it.
Well, you don't roughly. You plot them, yes.
Yeah, plot them exactly. You're right. And then 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, so there's one just less than 6, so I plot that one as well. Okay, so now I times those by each other. So I go...
Those all landed inside the triangle.
Not inside the triangle. They landed inside the tangent.
And that has nothing to do with anything. You only multiply the values that intersect inside the triangle. You divide by the total number of intersection points, peak and trough, total.
Oh, okay. So none of A landed inside the triangle.
Okay, good. So you multiply nothing by nothing and got nothing, correct?
Yes.
So if you take
I was totally doing this wrong then. Okay.
Yeah, and you divide it by the total number of intersection points, it's zero, correct?
Correct.
Very good.
Okay,
now, if B is on top of A, then you might get a value there. Because if you take zero and divide it into a number, you may get that number, you see, because zero will go into 100 times.
Okay, so for B, I have intersection points in the triangle for B.
Good.
So I've got 1, 2, three.
And those are primarily in the peaks of your value sine cosine of B?
There are two peaks and two troughs.
Two troughs from B intersect inside the triangle?
Yes.
Is it a very, 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 very small wave or tight wave?
It's the wave that you get when you find the wave of the angle for B. So now another question is...
Now, well, you're off. Think about this now. What you're saying is possible, but now just hold on here. If you draw a parallel line to X from your B plotted B angle, and you draw a straight parallel line over to your second tangent... Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then that's the bottom of the box. If you pull a sine and a cosine wave from that straight line, it is possible, depending on how it's plotted, that you might have a couple of troughs fall inside that triangle. But more times than not, it's going to be the peaks that would land inside that triangle, would it not? Especially since you're dividing it straight across from B over to your second, your B1A1 tangent. But it is correct that it can, like, close. The troughs that are intersecting inside the triangle, are they very close to the C value?
No.
Then how possibly are they inside the triangle?
They are, the C value is
much below. We're not talking about C, we're talking about B.
The B value is a lot higher on the x-axis, on the y-axis, than C. So the triangle is going down and to the right. So when I do the horizontal line...
Whoa. Down and to the right? Your value of B is... less than A, isn't it?
Yes.
And you draw a straight line from B over to your second tangent.
Yes.
Okay.
And A is larger
than
B.
Describe the number of troughs that then all of the troughs should intersect inside the triangle then, correct?
There's one, and then the one just after four, and then the one, there's one at six, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there is... Oh, wait one second here. How many did I do here? Wait one second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Why the hell did I do 13? Oh, that's how I did it that time. Oh, okay. I've set this up a bit incorrectly. It's not
good. Okay. That's why you're saying you're going through point by point, and that's why we're helping. Because this perfects your creation, see? So it's good, no problem. But that's that question alone, you go, well, exactly. If my intersection point is the bottom of the box going straight from B over to my tangent towards C, then it is, and I have peaks and troughs that are centered on that imaginary line that you draw from B over to the tangent, it would be very, it can be, you see, because you can have any shape triangle, but it would be very odd that that many troughs would be included in your triangle. So there's your catch. Now, you know that, so you'll watch as you're playing with it, and you go, well, it is occurring here because I have a very I have an obscurely shaped triangle.
In this example, my intersection points, my first, the coordinates of my first intersection point is, for B, is 0.3525 and 0.7071. Okay? Now, should I be moving my decimal on that point as well in order to justify it to the new triangle?
Set your premise one more time. Say it one more time so we make sure we're answering it the way you want it.
My intersection point value of the first intersection point of the B wave is 0.3525 and 0.7071. Those are, like, for example, this is plotted. This intersection point is plotted 0.3525 above the horizontal line that connects B from to the tangent, the bottom of the box.
That's correct. So that would be an intersection point inside the triangle, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is.
Good. But not the trough.
Not the trough. The trough also does in this, because of the way, like, A, B is 10.00, what is it here? B is 10.020. So the distance, the angle coming off of B when it goes to C is quite extreme. So it encompasses two troughs. Actually, two troughs fit
good.
In it.
But not close, but not very, very close to B. It'd be closer to your C.
It's like, well, the troughs, for example, the next intersection point is a trough, and its coordinate is its coordinate is 1.7626 and negative 0.7071.
So that'd be a trough. That's below.
Yeah, that would be a trough. So that also lands in the triangle. Now,
okay. And then if that's the case, then, okay, fine. You just have a very queer-shaped triangle. But we were just being very precise about this. Typically, what you'd find is that in your A, your troughs would hit the triangle, okay? Not so much your peaks. It's possible, but not likely. And more of your peaks of your B angle, B sine cosine, would fall within the triangle, and not so much of your troughs from a typical.
Yes, depending on how small.
That's
B
right,
was.
But you got to watch that now, see, because you want this to work every single time. So if you get a regular sort of regular looking triangle, all right. A regular-looking triangle, and you find that all the troughs are hitting above the imaginary line you drew from B, you know something's terribly afoul.
Yep.
Good.
Okay.
Now, we're just making sure, because we want to get each level on spot. Go ahead.
Okay, so four intersection points land in the triangle for B.
Good.
How it's
multiply
left.
Them times themselves, and then divide by the number of total intersections, peaks, and troughs, regardless whether they're inside or outside the triangle at all, and you only count the intersection points between the two tangents. Good.
Okay, so 0.3525 times 0.7071 times 1.7626 times negative 0.7071. Oh, shit, how do you do that on this calculator?
Just multiply times mine. Oh, you're saying the function.
Let me use my
calculator.
iPhone. I know my iPhone calculator how to
do
this.
Good.
On this one.
That's why we don't get in the looky box business, because everybody's is different. So you're right.
Yeah,
you're wise
exactly.
to do it that way.
Okay, 0.3525 times 0.7071 times 1.7626 times 0.7071 to the negative times 3.1727 times 0.7071. Okay, so that's 3. So wait 1 second. And then 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, one more. Times 4.5827 times 0.7071 to the negative equals 2.2258326196.
Okay, now take that number you got. You might want to save it, but take that number and then say divided by.
And divided by 4.
No. No.
Oh, you're right. Divided by 7.
No. Oh, no, you don't know that. You have to count the total number of intersection points for the sine cosine value of B.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, that's what it is. So there's
top
1, 2,
added to the bottom.
7 of them in B, to the left of the tangent.
Of the
Our
first,
tangent is set.
No,
at
to
9.
The right. To the right of AB. But those are the intersection points between A, B, and B1, A1.
Yes, 7 of them.
Good. So then divide that number you just got by 7.
Okay. Now
and
that
it equals
0.322618082895.
Okay, and your value for A was?
The value for A, the original price of A?
No, your calculations, your sine, cosine calculations.
Oh, was 0, 0.
So 0 over that number, 0 divided by that number equals?
0. Oh, no, that number.
No. If you have, if it's A over B and A equals 0.
Yeah.
0 over that number. So how many times will that number go into 0?
0.
Okay. There you go.
Ugh. So how the hell do I deal with that?
Well, you got it. You mark that down. You mark that down. That's where you'll plot A2.
Okay, so I've got 0.
Okay.
Now my next step is to
divide by or multiply by your Maybank rate. Remember A over B?
Yeah, exactly. So the Maybank rate for this was .58. Now
Whoa, 0.58 for which span of time?
Well, that's exactly it. So what I need to do is go and
Wait. No, you're all right, baby. We're just cleaning up little edges. Ain't nobody hurt
okay.
here. All right. Your day's trades are how much? I mean, how many days are you trading?
This is a 9-day outlook.
Okay. If you bought a certificate of deposit at Maybank for 9
yep.
days, there your interest rate would be... And that's
well,
what
right
you divide
now,
it by.
Okay, right now, you can't, they don't have, they don't quote you anything like that. Okay, they don't quote
okay,
you.
Okay, then you can do a 30-day and divide by 30 and multiply
okay,
by 9. Wouldn't
that
exactly work
out? That's
exactly
what I'm going to do. So, but right now, what they do is they give you I don't quite understand how they give you the rates, because what they do is it's a percent per year, but
Do you know the reason they do it that way?
No. Why do they say one
because
month?
Because they're
but then
a day
give
ahead. They are ahead of time already. Their APRs would be vastly different than anyone else's.
Okay, because what's the tenure versus the rate? Like, what's the tenure? What does tenure mean?
Well, tenure means a vested rate.
Because they have a column that's tenure, and it's 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 4 month, 5 month. But across from 1 month is 3% under a column that says rate percent per annum.
Right. So the yearly rate would be 3% per annum. Per annum means per year.
Okay, so it's 3% is the yearly rate.
Good.
Now, but for example, if you look under tenure and you see go down to 12 months.
Are you saying tenure as in like a college professor or 10-year as in 10 annums?
No, they just use the word tenure, T-E-N-U-R-E.
Good.
And then they've
like a college,
tenure.
Like a school teacher achieves tenure.
A tenure, yes.
Gotcha. So
it must be
okay.
Like a maturity.
Yes, very good.
Okay,
or vetted.
When you go down 12 months, which would be a year, the percent per annum is 3.15. So
okay.
Should I be using the one-month tenure or the 12-month tenure?
Well, okay. Because you know what you're doing, use both and see which one puts you precise.
Okay.
See? It's your creation. And you
so let's
even,
start with 3.15 because that
second.
Seems like if you...
Just a second. You don't make it hard. You're just trying to get it. Once you get it and you get a little monies rolling a little bit, okay, with
yep.
a bit of success, you're going to be able to have someone who looks after you. And you're going to pick up the phone. They're going to be living in New York City from Maybank, okay? And you're going to
yep.
be able to call and say, what's my 9-day yield? And they'll tell you, and you'll
okay.
know exactly. But so, and they'll explain all those details, bills of particulars. It's fine. Just don't mix up an APR on a daily rate.
Okay. So let's just do, I'm going to take the 3.15.
Okay.
And in order to find 9 days, I would have to divide that by 365 and times it by 9?
Well, it's not 365 days in a year, is it?
No, we're looking for financial days, correct? Market days.
No. You just need to know how many days are in a year.
Okay, so
there are not 365 days in a year.
Okay, so what number should I be using for this?
Look up how many days there are this year.
Okay.
If it's leap year, it's different, and the actual span of a year is different. See, that's why we're saying the yearly rate is the most difficult one to play with. You can, but you just need to calculate exactly.
Okay,
2011 what is the daily value of the year 2011?
365 is this year. It's not a leap year.
Okay, but it's not exactly 365, but go with it. We're okay with it. You're going to be close. Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so 3.15. Divided by 365.
They don't have a 3-month CD that's closer, or you're saying that's 3%?
No, that's 3. They've got a 3-month is 3.05.
Well, wouldn't it be easier to take a 3.05 and divide that by 90?
Oh,
and multiply
okay.
that times 9?
But this is a per annum rate.
It makes no difference. It makes no difference.
But if it's
a 3-month, no, wait a second. How is it per annum if it's a 3-month CD?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. But how are they paying 3% in 3 months?
Well, oh, the 3% would be divided. You need the extra value. You'd have to take 12. You'd take the 3% and divide it by 12. And then multiply that times 3. There you go. There you go. You're figuring it out.
Oh, okay.
And 3% would be if you did a 3-month CD 4 times, you'd make 3%. That's what they're saying.
Okay. So yeah, so to figure out the 1 month. Okay, so let's figure out the 1 month. The 1 month would be 3 divided by 12.
Mm-hmm.
Would give you the 1 month rate, which is 0.25 a month.
That's getting much closer to your mark, okay?
Okay. Now,
you got the 1 month. Now you divide that by how many days are there the month you're questioning?
This was in March, so there were. I gotta go to calendar. June, May, March 2011 was 31 days.
So you divide that by 31 days.
Okay, so point 0080 6452
times 9 days.
Times 9. Shit, I can't believe I did that. Okay, so 0725805
Okay.
Is the May bank rate.
Now, are you dividing it by zero, or are you dividing zero into it?
I am dividing, it's not negative, so I take the May bank rate and divide it by zero.
Very good. Very good. Very good, very good, very good. Marvelous. Because you can have a negative value for A, remember? Now, it's odd, you see. But we have to do this in a way now since it works every single time. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Okay, so that divided by zero is that number again, correct?
That's exactly correct.
Okay, because my calculator gives me just an error, but it doesn't know that I just want the same number again.
That's correct, of course.
Okay,
so it's thinking for you inappropriately. Good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great.
Okay,
so
now you got to do your minus sign minus cos of C to find out what X is.
Okay, my minus sign minus cos of C, so I've got to take that wave. So C is, what's that angle? 1 second. Shit. Okay.
Do you want us just to run it? Do you just want us to run it a little bit further for you, and then you play with it some more? What you want to do?
No, I've got the angle.
Good.
Or do you mean in general?
No. You're close
to
getting there.
The angle for C is 13.29115695.
Degrees.
13.29115695, and then that needs to be times -1 when I do my actual plotting. -1. Okay, and when I graph that, I get 1 point to the left. At negative, so my intersection point, let me just bump it over to the left. There's 1 point to the left that intersects above the x-axis.
Good.
And the intersection point is -10.157 and 0.7071. So the line is 0.7071 above the old x-axis.
The old x-axis. And the only intersection points are in the peak. That's the peak.
Yes.
Is the only intersection point in none of the troughs of the minus sine cosine of C, correct?
Correct.
Good.
Okay,
so then
that's it.
Well, we got to go one more, Bob.
Not too late. You got another minute.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's the reason to say. Okay. So you make that be your new x-axis, draw it all the way across, and now you have a new xy. Now plot your value for A. 2.
Okay, so I've got to now plot the 0.07258065.
On your new XY axis.
Yes, so I plot my value for A2. So I've got to now go 0.07258065 plus 0.7071.
Good. And you add those together, and that should give you your A2. And then you look at what your A was, and then you look there, and that should tell you your pips.
Okay. My A2 is 0.7. This answer that it's giving me is 0.7796805.
Okay, and your original value of A was
1.60049.
So if you justify that. So your new value in okay. So it should be 1 point, and then all your decimal points plotting for A2. Now,
yes.
Your actual answer, the correct answer is?
The correct answer in terms of the price
yeah.
should be 1.63743.
Okay, so what you do then is you subtract the difference and see where you're off. And see exactly how many pips you're off. And then you look at your Maybank range. You look at you make sure your angles are correct. And that's what you'll play with. See, because now
okay.
you've got a value and you'll know exactly how far you're off.
Are the intersection points landing properly?
Not exactly. But you moved C, but you didn't change the value of C when you were plotting it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why it's not working.
Well, because you moved C and you didn't. You moved the point of C and you now got to redo your angles because you moved C.
But I moved everything.
No, you didn't. You just moved C when you were setting your original marks. You didn't re-justify after you justified your points. So that's now you know. No problem. What you do is you take it from that level and then double-check it. We've gone through it, and when you re-listen, you can do it point by point by point, and then you can go, aha, and then all of a sudden the light bulb will come on, and you'll go, holy shit. It's great fun.
Okay.
Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously, and forever, Paula Abdul.